Chapter 15, Empty Nest, Empty Nest Egg.
I spent the next year after my injury in my nest, being still. To take pressure off my neck, I kept floating in water, known as a symbol of our unconscious in many circles of thought. To soothe my unconscious, Nani gave me something to think about during each float. My future is full of hope. My past cannot hold me. Now and in each moment, all is well and as it should be. Although I wanted all of that to be true, when I floated with those thoughts, my tears often trickled into my bathwater, as if I didn't believe any of it on an unknown level. After the first month of floating, there were fewer tears and much less pain. Gradually, I moved beyond thought into a peaceful place when I floated. That shift was slow but steady, the way stone is softened by a stream. During my first year of recovery, when I wasn't floating in Epsom salt EDTA baths each day, I was writing the first draft of my novel at the computer. About the only time I left my nest was for a 3-day trip to see Dr. G every 3 weeks. Each trip was easier to make than the one before it. That kept me going. After my 7th round of neck injections, 21 weeks after my injury, I saw crocuses blooming through clumps of snow, and I knew how they felt. With gentle persistence, I could prepare a simple meal and sleep on my right side in bed again. Bloom for me. After my 14th round of injections, my neck pain was a fading memory. However, the cost of treatments weighed me down. My divorce support had dwindled down after both children left home, so I had to tap into my retirement fund to pay for big repair bills for my neck and both homes. With a second year of neck treatments needed before I could resume all of my normal activities, I figured I'd blow through all of my savings if I didn't cut my living expenses quickly. I had to simplify my life. I was concerned how it would affect my kids. They were happily immersed in their adventures in learning when I reluctantly gave them another lesson. Via conference call, I told them, "I'm going to sell our Chicago home so I can afford to live in our Santa Fe home." That was the basis of our divorce deal. In the silent thud that greeted my news, I said, "How do you feel about it?" Logan said, "Someone will be lucky to raise kids there." Jade said, "We could hire our drummer's mom to sell our house." "So you're not upset?" I asked. "It's not as bad as when you told us about your neck," Logan said. "And it won't be real until we pack up our stuff," Jade said. "You'll have a home with me in Santa Fe," I said. "Our home is Chicago," Logan snapped, so I knew how he felt. "Or wherever we go," Jade said, "and we'll visit you." So said another Chicagoan. My empty nesthood grabbed me like a fierce undertow, which would drag them down with me if I resisted. "I've got to go with the flow," I told myself. "You've grown up," I said. "All is well and as it should be." The next day, I hired the drummer's mother as our broker. She'd never sold a home this expensive, so I figured she'd hustle for this big break. Yet her market analysis stunned me. There were 400 homes for sale in my price range within a few miles of mine, she informed me. If I wanted to sell in a year or less, she suggested I price my home at least $100,000 below appraised value, a strategy used by most of the quick-selling competition. Otherwise, it could take years to attract a buyer. It was my choice, she concluded. This was a huge decision, and I had to make it fast. My first impulse was to call Walter for advice. Whoa, that old habit's hard to break, but now's the time. You know what you need to do, Hadley girl. I priced my home for quick sale. The next day, from an upstairs window, I watched a workman install a fancy wood sign in my front yard. I felt like I was losing my footing on a steep slope. In that ungrounded moment, the phone rang. I was hoping for a good word when I heard Walter's voice. "The kids told me your latest troubles," he said. "You're a talented woman with top credentials. Isn't it time to get a job?" My defenses rose up. I've been writing my first book while I had to be still. If that book sells like your album, you're lucky you've got a big house to sell, or sell both homes if you're desperate, he said. My thoughts raced toward attack. Against my better judgment, I let him have it. "You bought a Bentley with the money you stopped paying me last year," I shrieked. "Your point?" he asked. "My repair bills have doubled. So did your income when you ascended to your corporate throne. Do you really think you got there alone?" My wife supports my work, he said. You always ask me to work less. I felt as if he'd grabbed my neck and squeezed. A wave of pain made it hard to speak. Have you forgotten why? I asked. Doesn't matter now, he said. Our divorce deal can't be changed. It's time to be responsible for your own life. I am, without your advice, I said. Good, he said. Goodbye, I said. Although I sighed, a river of relief swept over me. But why? It occurred to me that I needed to make that next big break from Walter before I could stand on my own two feet. I could always value my contributions to his well-being and success, even if he never did. And I could create a whole new story without him, with me ascending to my own corporate throne. But in the meantime, how do I support myself? I hadn't finished a draft of my novel because I was discovering the ending. I hadn't recorded my new songs because of the recording costs. I hadn't had an audition since my injury, but I could change that. I called my agent, Laura, and said, I'm ready to earn some money for us. No more neck brace? Laura asked. I've got the neck of a giraffe, she chuckled. Would you do a commercial for an arthritis pain reliever? I groaned. Whatever happened to my sex star feature film role last year? You were too smart for that part, she said. But they want a smart boomer to convince the aging herd to stop arthritis pain with their pill. Does it harm the liver? I asked. Don't be difficult. You could earn 50 grand for this national spot. That would cover another year of neck treatments. What do I wear? I quickly changed into young grandmother casual. Then I drove through an afternoon rush hour to tape my audition before Laura sent the tape to New York. When I walked into Laura's office, she shrieked, Your hair! Is my windswept look out of date? It makes Einstein's mane look tame, she said. I saw the girls in the office nod and snicker at their desks, while I felt my hair and realized what had happened. I floated in hundreds of salt baths, I said, and I rarely looked in the mirror. That has to change if you're serious about working, Laura said. Her tone said she was ready to cancel my audition, so I spoke up. I'll slick it down before you shoot me, then I'll be ready for my close-up before callbacks. Her reluctant nod was all I needed to take action before she changed her mind. After making a damp hair repair at the sink, I met Laura in the taping room and nailed my audition in one take. You're back, she said in a cheery voice. I know something about pain relief, I said. Apparently the client agreed. 2 weeks later, I flew to New York to film that commercial. Thrilled to be back in business, my wild woman was roused from a long sleep during my eastbound flight. To celebrate another big step forward, I used divorce miles to upgrade my ticket to first-class seat so I'd get some writing done undisturbed. Until my seatmate showed up, I heard him greet nearby passengers by name before he sat down next to me. While clicking his seatbelt, he said, Now I'm really glad I made this flight. I looked up from my manuscript. A dashing, dark-haired man about my age, wearing a crisp shirt and striped tie, was smiling at me. Drawn to his dimples and dark eyes, I smiled back. Me too, I said. What are you writing, he asked. A novel with complimentary songs in it. About, he asked. About a divorced songwriter who turns heartbreak into harmony as she finds love online. Based on your own experience, he asked. Inspired by and changed a little for thematic purposes, I said. Have you written anything else? I nodded. For Chicago television, is this an interview? He grinned. I'm Ted Henderson. I started a new publishing house after 20 years at a biggie. I'd like to publish your book and date you. Are you open to that? I froze as I looked for words. I stammered. As we sped up for takeoff, my thoughts raced. Remember the trouble Walter caused when he dated someone he worked with. Same for President Clinton. Except the Clintons remained a power couple who worked together, so it might work if I dated my publisher, assuming he's not married. He tapped my right temple and asked, What's going on in there? Sorry, I said. It's been impossible to date for over a year. We're all busy, he said, until you meet someone who could change your life in a snap. Feeling off balance, I dug up a question that grounded me. Should I give you a writing sample? He revealed those dimples in a big grin. If you must. Sensing his true agenda, I rose above it. Do you have a card so I could mail it? He tapped my manuscript, which lay on my lap. If you give me your first three chapters, I'll give you instant feedback, an offer I rarely make, he said. I actually giggled as I said, Santa Fe Woohoo works in Chicago. I need a publisher, and voila, I pointed to him. So you're not heading to the book convention in New York, he asked. I'm filming a commercial there for a couple days. Are your evenings free? When I looked into his serious eyes, I was startled by desire. I froze again. I don't know yet, I said. He held out his open palm and gave me a hopeful nod. With a playful sigh, I gave him several chapters, and he dug right in. I pretended to be reading my chapter 12 when I watched his reactions out of the corner of my eye. Occasionally he'd nod or grin. Once he muttered, I'm jealous. I looked at his page number and guessed he was reading about my love outlaw. When breakfast was served, I noticed he barely glanced at his eggs Florentine while he ate. He's hooked, I thought. Halfway into it, he turned to me. Are you still in love with your ex? Former. X crosses him out like he never existed, I said. Does that mean yes? He asked. I shook my head. I love my new life. If my rebirths continue at this pace, I'll be forever one. I'm interested in you and your book, he said. I didn't know what to say, but my big grin must have said I was interested. He said, I've got dinner plans, so let's talk later. At your hotel around 11? Like a thoroughbred at the gate, my wild woman was raring to go. But my gut told me whoa, so I said, I need my beauty sleep for an early call. He shifted into a deep voice. Nothing good happens when you stay home alone. That's how I wrote my book, I said. He patted my hand, and then he started reading the next chapter. The fluttering in my stomach feels like fear, I thought. Fear of being interested in a man? I hope not. Mm-mm. Something about him had put me on guard. I'm proud I saw it. As we landed at LaGuardia, Ted straightened up the pages of my chapters and said, I want my managing editor to read this. Can I take it with me? Once again, my gut said, whoa. So I said, I'd rather send you a clean copy. Reaching into his coat pocket for a card, he said, you're not like most writers. Thanks, I said, trading my card for his. Ted leaned closer, and I felt his warm breath on my ear. I'll call you later, Hadley. I felt a rush of pleasure I'd feared I'd never feel again. Later, I said. My unexpected delight lingered until I had to tuck it away to get in the right mood for my arthritis shoot. That had its own pleasures, culminating in kudos from the client and my joyful anticipation of residual payments each time the spot aired on TV. My first business trip since my injury ended with one minor disappointment. I'd stayed up past 11 each night in my hotel in case Ted called. He never did. Oh well, I've only got one word to say about a man who doesn't keep his word. Next! To ease my disappointment, I took a bubble bath in my hotel tub and found comfort in my song I wrote during my uphill climb toward solitary contentment after divorce, In Love Again. See your gifts, embrace your flaws, fall in love with the woman you are. Awake to the song of your heart and mind. Ah, I did fall in love with me again. When I saw the miracle of my body making me whole after a broken neck and a broken heart. Yes, I love me and my miracle maker. All is well, and as it should be. The next week, I accepted a two-week subbing assignment for $90 a day. I figured Walter earned that much in each of our 533,600 minutes a year. Whoa, don't let that ruin this, Hadley girl. Be grateful to have some money coming in. In that frame of mind, I enjoyed our class discussions of the Odyssey and our rehearsals of student skits for their annual Greek Fest. Plus, I worked on my book during three free periods each day, all without pain. Amazing. The study of the Odyssey inspired my major aha moment. Looking back several years to when I'd subbed during the Odyssey Greek Fest prep, I remembered how I'd identified with Penelope, the devoted wife who waited and longed for her husband to return home. Now I was Odysseus, in the midst of my own Odyssey. I faced all challenges the gods threw at me and made choices that determined my fate. That lesson, priceless. During lunch break on my fifth day at school, I received an email from Ted. "Hey, Hadley, we haven't received your chapters. Please resend. Better yet, bring the rest of it with you and read it to me at my home on the beach." His blur of boundaries bothered me. I had to ask myself, what do I want most, a publisher or a lover? No contest. I wrote back, "So glad you're still interested in my work, Ted. I'll send the chapters, but you'll have to wait for the rest of it until I finish writing it. Hadley." Before we go any further, I'd like to propose a joint venture arrangement to see if it interests you, Hadley. Here are the general terms. You'd invest up to $25,000 in editing, design, and printing of your book. I'd also invest in that phase, plus I'd pay for the marketing launch. You'd pay for your own marketing platform thereafter. As JV partners, we'd split all income 50-50. My reply consisted of two questions. What's a marketing platform? What if I sold my soundtrack separately and made a film from my novel? A marketing platform is how you connect intimately with people in your blog, e-zine, teleseminars, etc., so they want to buy your book and other products. We'd have a 50-50 split on all sales, no exceptions. When can you come to see me in Malibu? It felt like a lopsided deal, and I had to trust that. I wasn't ready to split profits from years of my work, at least until I saw how much was left in my nest egg when I finished my book. Can I keep my options open? Blog, e-zine, teleseminars are Greek to me, Ted. How do I learn more? Also, I'd like to do some homework on publishing deals before I respond to yours. Thanks again for your patience and your interest. Hadley. The next day, Ted sent this email. Do you have an extra hour or two a day to build your marketing platform? If so, sign up for a telephone course described in my attachment so you can take 100% responsibility for sharing your message with the world. If not, your book will be turned into toilet paper after no one reads it. Choose wisely. Good luck, Ted. I knew I could have handled things differently if I'd wanted to pursue the deal or the dance, but neither felt right. I'd have to say it was easy to let go of a questionable deal from the first publisher I met. But after meeting over 100 single men, I knew that our instant spark of chemistry was a rare find. I'd stopped wondering if I'd find it again while my thoughts shifted away from my body during my year of floating. Now, I'm back in my body, thanks to Ted. Thanks to Ted, the publisher, I signed up for a 10-hour-per-week marketing course by phone, which would end about the same time as I finished writing my book. Thanks to Ted, the man who woke my wild woman, I revived my dating profile and uploaded my new headshot, already a year old. Then I rethought what I sought in a mountain man before I added my new headline, "Kind-hearted songbird seeking intimate nights and enchanting days," with a loving, loyal knight. Could that be you,